It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like capaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Fresh off the practice field. No, that doesn't work. Practice ended hours ago. Sal Capaccio joins us from Rochester. That's better. Site of Bills training camp, St. John Fisher University. Sal's on the Western Hotline. Fresh off of, dude, you are just grinding out the content. I watched Hard Knocks. It was, listen, my son Owen wanted to watch it too, but he gets up and leaves the house at 4:30 in the morning to come here to do the video content producing for the morning show. So like he's someone who goes to bed pretty early. I get up in the summer to either go outside and ride my bike or go golf at like 5:30 in the morning. Making it to 9 o'clock took some doing. I'm just saying. But you get done with that, and then it's an hour of podcast video casting with Matt Bove. It's always game day in Buffalo. I did watch your episode this morning because I was curious. Like I watched it. I had my own thoughts, but I wanted to hear some more. So I watched that, and you just you never stop, Capaccio.
I appreciate that. It is a grind. You know, it's that time of year where we have a lot going on and we got to bring the content to the people. And that's what I'm here for. Right. I mean, I try to really bring everybody as much information about the Buffalo Bills as they can. And you're honestly like today, it happens every day. But, you know, I walk through St. John Fisher. I walk through the parking lots or near the stands. And I can't tell you how many Bills fans come up and just say, hey, thanks for the content. Thanks for the information. And that just really makes you feel good. You know what I mean? Like makes you feel valuable to what you're doing and putting it out there. Right. And I love my job. You know that. I think we all love, we work in sports and we talk about sports and you've been doing it for almost 3 decades now. Right. I think
this is going to be my 30th Bill season.
Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Congrats. And
thanks.
You wouldn't do that if you didn't, you know, love it. And I do this because I love it. And like last night I was super interested in watching Hard Knocks, but I know a lot of people want to talk about it. I always say, like, I can talk about the Bills every day. That's fine. I can talk about sports every day. The average person doesn't maybe get to do that. Maybe their outlet is listening to me. Maybe their outlet is talking to me. And I like to be there for that. So Matt and I had this idea. We were going to do a reaction show anyway. And I said, actually, why don't we do it live? Everybody's right there. They're on edge. They got their thoughts right there. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it out live. So we did. And we did the episode live. And Bulldog, we had over 8,000 viewers last night. It was unbelievable.
I didn't know how high the number got. I know it got into the 5,000s at one point while I was watching, and then I lost track. But, yeah, that's great.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to – I spent the first hour here talking about it. I certainly – any Bills fan it would have liked the show, and I certainly am enough of a Bills fan still, even though I've been in the media all this time, to, like, really enjoy and appreciate the show. But it felt like something that the Bills could have produced themselves mostly. Like, there was nothing – and I don't know, like – and, again, that's not – I don't mean that to come off as negative. I feel like Bove watching your video cast there talking about it was kind of in that sort of boat where it's just like I didn't get anything that, you know, maybe we don't. It's confirming priors. Deion Dawkins is awesome and has a monstrously huge personality, and you're gonna love him. And like, of course, right? Tre'Davious White. Everything that was presented is stuff I think mostly. Although I didn't know that Deion Dawkins had this hobby, you know, and the custom car and the drifting and all that. So, I mean, I did learn stuff, but there was – I had a guy at the end of last hour who said, I think they came off as boring, and I mean that in a good way, right? There's not any drama there. And I said, well, sure, but they chose to not mention Khalil Shakir's week-to-week high ankle sprain, even though they showed him Friday at practice, and there was footage from Friday's practice, and that's when that injury occurred. And there was no mention of the James Cook situation, and maybe the timing of that is why. But you could have even mentioned something about there being a question about him showing up or participating at the beginning of camp, and they didn't. So I think some of the boring was by choice.
Agreed. And I've said it. You just mentioned a little while ago. I was listening. the Bills do have, I think, pretty much total editorial control. Okay. Ready? But it's a back and forth, right? I mean, I don't think you want to be, we're not doing this, you're not doing that. I think, you know, when you work with NFL Films, you work with HBO and Hard Knocks, you know, you can do that and say, hey, you know, this is what we really want. And you kind of work together on all that. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think that's exactly what's happening. And yeah, the Bills aren't going to want to be painted in any sort of light that is, you know, portraying them in a negative way. And honestly, I don't think anybody in Hard Knocks is trying to do that. It's not a gotcha show. Maybe, you know, back in the day, there was a little bit more of that, right? When it was kind of fresh and new and we're all learning about the inside look at the NFL. And this is what it's really like for all these football players and these meetings and the coaches and all that kind of stuff. So that's true. But I thought last night was, very much like kind of like an embedded series, right?
Right.
Here is a great look at the Buffalo Bills off the field. I think if every episode goes like last night, it would be considered an unbelievably wild, successful series for the Buffalo Bills. Like, they would love it. Be like, yep, that's exactly what we were looking for. So no problem there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. But I wonder if HBO or even football fans who aren't Bills fans would be like, thanks for the 5 episodes of an infomercial about how awesome the Bills are. You know, because that's how that could come off eventually. Like, if I'm watching that show and it's about, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys, and they're not telling me about Micah Parsons, and they're not telling me about any of the stuff, and it's just all, you know, how awesome everyone is, to some extent, I'm going to roll my eyes at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that at some point you're going to probably get a little bit of, you know, consternation or something. There's got to be something about James Cook, right? You talked about how they didn't show it. And I do think it had to do with the timing, maybe, of the James Cook situation. Really, the last thing we saw was them practicing in Highmark Stadium, right? And then the James Cook situation happened after that.
Right.
You know, he practiced at Highmark Stadium. So maybe that – I didn't know. I stuck around. There was no teaser for next week. Trailers.
That teasers. Was what – we got done watching it. And Owen and I looked at one another, you know, it's whatever, it's 10 o'clock, like, all right, I'm ready for bed. I just turned it off right away. And by the time I got upstairs to go to bed, I went back into the app on my iPad and watched the final sequence again in the credits, because I thought maybe there'd be next week. But there was no trailer. I'm sure there will be one at some point here in the next few days, once they have in mind exactly what they're doing, because they have another week to come up with the next episode. But I thought there might be a little teaser, and that's where we'd see Cook and Shakir, you know, rolling around on a little scooter because his ankle's hurt or whatever. But yeah, there wasn't even that. So, but again, like, sort of like, again, like your podcast co-host was trying to intimate, like, I'm not mad about it. I'm just objectively pointing out, like, there's no way any Bills fan would have walked away from that thinking anything other than, man, my team is awesome. And, like, they love Josh Allen, and, like, everything's good here. And, again, there's nothing negative about that. It just, there was no presentation of any conflict or anything that could be perceived as a problem.
And even the Max Hairston injury was kind of like, hey, there was just this quick bit about it. They obviously showed how his teammates reacted, which I think was, you know, something that they wanted to make sure to show, like, you know, the love of the teammates, what they feel about him. There wasn't much about that. So I'm interested in next week about, you know, about James Cook specifically and his contract situation and how all that plays out. But two things for you. Number one, I don't know if you noticed, I'm on video now. I'm saying hi to you.
Okay.
We opened up. I said, you know what? I got a message over to Zach and G, and I said, hey, I'm in my dorm. And I haven't been on video through to say hi to the bullpen and let them see what's going on over here. It's really kind of boring. It's a cinder block dorm. It's Dorsey Hall. But you know the way it is. You've been here before. So I wanted to say, give that experience for everybody. But I did follow up on our conversation yesterday. I made sure to pay attention. The Hard Knocks crew does film all the 11-on-11. They do get to film everything. And it makes sense, right? They're showing highlights that you normally wouldn't see. But I wanted to make sure, because I hadn't really noticed in past practices. But yes, they are basically filming everything all the time.
Right. On Tre'Davious White, I don't know if you heard me talking about him earlier, and I hope it made sense what I was saying. If you did hear it, you can hopefully tell me that it made sense. I feel like he has become a player now that he's back here, and there are now, I think thinking back to when he was signed, it was like, break glass in case of emergency. If the rookie doesn't, if you don't get the right guy in the draft, at least you've got some insurance, a guy that knows the system, you know, not high expectations. I think that's changed through 2 weeks of training camp to some extent for the fan base, hearing and seeing themselves how well he's performing and hearing him talk about how healthy he feels and how he was able to train and all that. And there might be some sort of rekindling of, you know, we've got vintage Trey White back here at this point. I feel like with the way his backstory, most of us already know it anyway from when he was here and he got hurt twice in devastating fashion. And now that he's being presented on this show the way that he is, and just naturally that personality is coming out, I feel like he has become a guy that if anything were to happen to him, I think a lot of us, our first thoughts will now be, oh my God, poor Trey White, instead of, oh no, what are the Bills going to do?
Yeah, I really like that. You know, his personality, if you've covered him when he's here as a reporter, but in this business, we've gotten to know him a little bit, some more than others, and you understood what kind of personality he is. Now, look, Bills fans themselves, the Trey White Goalie Academy, the gregarious personality, the fun-loving Trey, I think you got a glimpse of that. But there was a lot of stuff underneath about Tre'Vius White just as a human being and what he's all about and his family. And we've seen him, you know, grow with children here, right? He had his children here while he's in Buffalo. And you've seen all that, him come from a young man to a man. And then he goes off. He has the injuries, obviously, and we saw and we heard and we were there when he talked to us a couple of years ago about how devastating that was for him when he's trying to come back. And then they released him, obviously. I think that this show does two things. Number one, it brings all of that out for everybody even more so than they've already known, which is really cool. But I think number two, it's actually showing what we've been saying for a while, which is he's looked pretty good, Bulldog. Like, he's looked like Tre'Vius White, who could start in the NFL and play on the Buffalo Bills and be a really key component. Oh, by the way, he's going to pretty much have to now. But, you know, we'll go back to the first day of camp. Go back to really OTAs and minicamp. I remember OTAs and minicamp. I said, boy, he looks fresh. His change of direction is great. I need to see him just kind of be a little bit more sticky down the field. That'll probably come. You know, but right now he's just working on getting back to where he needs to get. And then we get here to camp, and when I would join you guys, I'd say, man, like, Trey, he's looking good. He's making plays. And if you watched last night, I think you saw, like, he has that confidence and respect from his team, from his organization, that he is a qualified player to be a starter right now in this defense, right? This is not just, oh, it's Trey White and we're going to put him in. This is not, oh, it's a feel-good story. Like, he's earning this spot. And I think he earned the spot anyway, even if Max Harrison doesn't get hurt. Maybe for how long, I don't know.
Right.
But the way he's playing, he just would have been on the field until it didn't continue to happen like that.
I feel like that is how it was starting to sound right before Harrison got hurt. And I don't think I'm misremembering that. I feel like there was, you know, whatever, early enough on where some people observing practice like you are, like, he's winning this job. Like, you know, the rookie's in tough. So, you know, now that Harrison's hurt, obviously now we're all thinking, you know, we got to count on him even more. But so far, I mean, so good. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with us from St. John Fisher University. The Bills were, let's leave Hard Knocks over there for now, back on the practice field today. I mean, if we have time, maybe I'll revisit a couple of different things that I've already brought up and get your reaction to them. But what was the story today as far as practice goes?
Well, I think the story was really roster moves today. Bealen Specter is no longer a member of the Buffalo Bills in most ways. He actually, I'll explain what happened. Bealen Specter, the large picture is for everyone that the Bills waived injured. They got rid of, they released Bealen Specter, the linebacker. And how many times have we talked about his availability issues? He just can't stay on the field. And look, he was having a good training camp, I thought, as far as fighting Joe Andreessen. But we had many conversations here of me saying, if it comes down to it, how much can you really trust him to be available, even if he does, you know, even sort of beat out Andreessen just by a little bit? Because I thought Andreessen still had a great opportunity to win that job, even if both are healthy. He was fighting for it, and that's not going to happen anymore. He has played, I looked it up, Bulldog, out of 50 possible regular season games, he's played 26. Now, some of that was being a healthy scratch his rookie year, but he's been on injured reserve three times over the last two seasons, and then he got hurt again on Monday, and now the team has released him. So what does it mean? Waived injured. So because he is less than four years in the league, he gets waived. Any team can claim him, but they put an injury designation. So everybody knows he's hurt. Like, you can claim him, but he's hurt. Everybody has to know that. He might fail your physical, but you can still claim him. If he does not get claimed in 24 hours, he reverts back to the Bills. Then the Bills can either put him on injured reserve for the season, or they can give him an injury settlement right away or put him on IR and then later give him an injury settlement, whatever. So he could still wind up being on the Bills in some capacity. That's number one. Number two, they get Dorian Williams back, which is obviously a really big deal. The linebacking core, you know, starting to come together, but even more so, kind of buried here, is Terrell Bernard is back taking 11 on 11 reps. Like, he wasn't doing that even on Monday when he returned, but now he was back there. So now you have, I think, your linebacker in core where you need it and where you want it set, which is Milano at Will and Terrell Bernard at Mike, and then behind them is Dorian Williams at Will and Joe Andreessen at Mike. Shaq Thompson's still working back. I think that he factors in this. He could get a job. I just don't love – I haven't seen Eddie Ulofosio flash enough. I mean, at this point, I don't know if he's going to make the team. And then I would tell you that Matt Milano still looks incredible out here. He made a play today. There was a jet sweep to Elijah Moore, and Matt Milano got to that spot to tackle him like he was shot out of a cannon, and he couldn't even turn the corner. Like, he saw it, he diagnosed it, and he got there, right? That's Matt Milano. So that was great. A little bit later, a couple really nice plays on offense. Dalton Kincaid shined today. Today was a Dalton Kincaid day. One time down the seam, catches it, runs past defenders for a touchdown. Another time, the Bills actually tweeted this video out, if you take a look at it, coming into the corner, perfectly placed ball, catches it with his hands, gets into the corner. So that was a Dalton Kincaid day. Defensively, a couple really nice plays today. A couple underlying guys making interceptions. You had one from Dorian Strong and one from Keontae Jenkins. So, yeah, a couple of guys that made plays. I think Josh threw the one that Jenkins had, and I think Trubisky threw the one that Strong had, if I remember correctly.
We're going to make all of that your best of training camp today, if that's okay with you. Best of training camp during Sal's daily segment with us here on our show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Get a Northtown Engine Shield engine protection warranty on new and used vehicles. Did the injury list shrink at all? You mentioned Dorian Williams back. Bernard's taken 11 on 11. Spencer Brown's been getting some work.
Yeah, that's
back
good
in,
news.
Right?
Big news so, today too.
So,
yeah,
right.
He did teamwork today for the first time.
Okay,
that's right.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe I heard McDermott on with Jeremy and Joe this morning say, like, you know, maybe it's starting to. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it felt like there was maybe some optimism about the list shrinking somewhat. But there still are a lot of guys that are probably in big question to play on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And we don't know what their plan is for Saturday. Just to run through a few more. Deion Walker had an illness. He actually was on the field today. Taron Johnson had a vet rest day. He was back today. And Dane Jackson had a personal excused absence. He was back today. I mean, that's four guys you get back who weren't practicing at all. Then you obviously lose Specter. But they did sign this young man who was the captain at Army, Jimmy Charlo. He comes in. He's going to wear 35 as a linebacker, Bulldog. How do you feel about that? He's wearing 35 as a linebacker.
That's a tough one. That feels like I don't want to say what I just thought. That feels like you're not making the team number.
Yeah, and I'm sure he probably realizes and figures that, right?
Right?
He's only getting here late in the process, and he's playing linebacker, but at least it's an opportunity. A lot of times these guys, their opportunities, just show us what you can do for a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll keep you on the practice squad because we like your potential and what you can do maybe to help out the offense on a scout team or something like that. But otherwise, you're still waiting on, you know, Curtis Samuel to come back. You're still waiting on Cedric Van Pran Granger, Alec Anderson. Oh, that was the other thing. Khalil Shakir, we did see for the first time today since his injury. He had a walking boot on, but he was doing exercises with the trainers. Wasn't running. He had a walking boot on. He was doing like medicine ball and stuff, upper body stuff with the trainer. It's him, Alec Anderson, and Cedric Van Pran Granger were all there. And I guess, you know, we've gone this far without mentioning it, but James Cook was not to be seen at all today. We did not see him anywhere.
Did you take the sign? They signed a lineman yesterday. Was it Dan Feeney? A lot of experience in the league. Some starts, a lot of starts at center. I think more at guard. But I wondered if that was not a bad sign for Van Pran Granger's availability.
I would say there is a game coming up. You need bodies. You need preseason bodies. And I think because they're down in two interior guys, that's not only Van Pran Granger, but it's also Alec Anderson. You got to have guys to play, right? You got to put guys in there. This is kind of like, remember last year when they signed, who was the Brown, the quarterback, and Ben DiNucci, right? Anthony Brown and Ben DiNucci. Then I signed both of them at the end, right, to play. Like, this kind of feels like that, where we need numbers. They released a guy named Jacob Bayer, I think it is. Jacob Bayer, I think is who they released, if I remember right. and he was a lineman. And, no, no, it wasn't. It was Rush Reimer. I'm sorry. Jacob Byers still on the team. Sorry to Jacob Byers' parents if they're listening. He's still on the team. yeah. Dan Feeney replaced Rush Reimer, actually. And Rush Reimer, I think, was probably not as much of an interior guy. So I think this was numbers, to be honest with you. And to answer your question, though, McDermott did say they're not expecting Cedric Van Pran Granger until maybe after Tampa. I mean, that's after the last preseason game. I think Cedric Van Pran Granger... My prediction right now, as I sit here with you right now,
he's in trouble.
Is that he starts the season on PUP.
Okay.
And therefore, that's going to be another 6 weeks. And maybe not. I mean, only because if you're not getting any work and any time in, you're going to put him on the 53. You can do that. They feel they're comfortable with him doing that. But they could also just transition him to PUP. Then it's only four games, not six, actually. Then he only has to sit out four games, and they can just use that time for him to get ready.
Ramp him up and get him going. Yeah. All right. Did I miss anything? Have you had the trade day Sunday, by the way? Have you tried?
I haven't.
No.
I'm going to be super honest with you. I have not been to the Pittsford Dairy this entire time in camp this year. And it's a great spot. I've been there before. But, like, I'm not Mr. Dairy guy. I like ice cream. Right. But I mean, a lot of people really like to go there and it's a great spot. I just have not been here this entire trip because I am putting out so much content. I guess
you're so busy. You don't have time for Sundays. Yeah, no, I got
to the Pittsford Dairy. So, no, listen, tomorrow's the last day of camp. And I mean, I could say this tomorrow, but everybody's just so awesome out here. The security who's out here, the people who are checking, like people walking around and they're, you know, making sure directing traffic and making sure people have proper badges. Most of them are actually teachers in the Rochester area. So shout out to them. Like they're, you know, coming here and this is kind of their summer gig and they're doing this and that's really cool. And I would say from real quick, Hard Knocks last night, I thought St. John Fisher looked amazing on television. I thought the area looked great. I thought the scenes, the red, white, and blue. And I even think by watching it, I had a thought, Bulldog. Tell me if you agree. I said this on the show last night. Do you think there might be some teams, some presidents, team presidents, CEOs, whatever going, you know, we don't go away, but look at that, what they do there. Maybe we should think about taking our guys away for a couple of weeks. There are only a handful of teams that do that now. Yep. It used to be the thing back in the day because of efficiency with all your facilities right there. But I think after watching that, if I'm on the outside looking in, I might go, you know, I think that might be something we should look at.
I think there's only five teams now that go away. If I have the numbers right, I could be off on that, but it's a very low number. So that's right. My first thought would be that might depend on how much that team president's owner has sunk into facilities at their stadium site, right? Like how comfortable have we made it to be here, and does it make sense for us to go somewhere else, or would we be limiting ourselves by going away instead of actually expanding on what we can do? But all right, well, I'll let you go here, Sal. The Red Sox have passed the Yankees in the standings, by the way. I don't know if you...
Yeah, thanks, Bulldog.
You,
see you, bye.
Gotta I don't know go. If you've noticed that or not. I just thought I would fill you in. It happened a couple days ago, but...
Yankees are just terrible right now. It's absolutely terrible. It is full-on panic mode in New York City. It is full-on fire everybody mode in New York City right now, all Yankees fans. I'm getting texts from friends, literally all caps, fire everyone, !! 10 times. Like, that's what I'm getting on my phone.
They're tied with Texas right now in the bottom of the 6-2-2, so you know.
Yeah, they'll blow it.
Maybe, okay, wow, that's the spirit, Sal. That is sports fan. That's Yankee fan, Sal.
Yeah.
Because you are one of the most optimistic people I've ever known, and I don't say that lightly, and I mean that as a compliment, of course. But to hear they'll blow it is you're in tough.
I just
right
thought
now.
The same thing. I'm like, from Mr. Optimism, I'm saying they're going to blow it because that's just what happens with this team now.
Right. All right. Thanks for this, buddy. We'll talk tomorrow.
You got it.
There's Sal Capaccio, his training camp coverage, all of our training camp coverage of the Bills from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We'll hit up a timeout here, reload some phone calls. You got a reaction to last night's Hard Knocks Bills debut. We'd love to hear you. 803-0550 is that number, and lines are wide open right now, so if you want to get in, you should have no trouble getting through. Again, Hard Knocks debuted last night. If you watched it and want to share your thoughts, please get in on it. Anything that's going on at practice that I can maybe fill you in on, opinions about position battles and different players that have caught your eye and whatnot, would love to hear from you. If you've been out there, even yourself at practice, feel free to share your observations with us today. Again, 803-0550 is that number. Mike Tenier, our old friend covering the NFL, will join me at the top of the hour, but we got a half an hour here to just hang out and knock it around, so please feel free to call. Mike is away this week, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Honestly, I feel like he has it all. The timing, the accuracy, the placement, the speed, the awareness.
He has it all.
The field recognition. I mean, what else? He audibles in the backfield. When you turn on Joe's tape, it's different from Josh Allen's tape. Completely different. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So people game plan against Josh Allen, not against Joe Burrow. They play against his game weapons. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference.
All right, it's now the fourth time that I have listened to that. And I mean, a few thoughts. That's Ja'Marr Chase of the Bengals talking about, I cannot fathom that what he means to do is sound like or say that teams don't have to prepare or game plan for his quarterback. But that's literally what he said, right? I mean, I there's no way he meant that. It had to come out wrong. I've been waiting all day. My son showed me that last night. I know that it was played on the morning show, and Jared and Joe talked about it. I only saw like a brief clip of it, so I don't know that they spent a lot of time on it. You know, nor should they. They're live at Bills camp, and we're getting ready to talk to Sean McDermott or whatever, talking about Hard Knocks. So, you know, not a Bengals show. I want you to consider for just a moment, if Stephon Diggs were still here, or anybody, like any Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, who do you want here, right? No, Diggs is the obvious one because he's the closest we've had to a receiver that is at the level that Ja'Marr Chase is at. I mean, he's one of one. You know, he's at the top of the heap, if not very near the top of the heap, right? When you're talking about fantasy drafts, there's your 101 there. Like it's him, Justin Jefferson, like take your pick maybe, right? So, I mean, he's a monster kingpin number one wide receiver in the league, like Diggs was when he was here. So imagine if at some point, while Diggs is on the Bills, right, that he says something similar to that about, you know, whatever, right? About Joe Burrow or about Lamar Jackson while he's talking about Josh Allen. Like, yeah, my guy's good at this and this and this, but, man, teams don't have to game plan for him like they do for Lamar. We would never stop talking about it. I mean, ever. And, you know, you can paint us as broadly as you want with the brush. You guys are going to make a big deal out of everything. That would be a big deal, such a big deal amongst the fan base that people would never want to stop talking about it. And then after a day or so, or maybe not even, we'd start getting calls from people that are mad that you're still talking about this thing that people can't stop talking about. And like the cycle would just go on until there would be some clarification. I don't know that we've gotten any kind of a clarification yet on what Ja'Marr Chase was trying to say about Joe Burrow, but basically in a nutshell, I think what he's telling you, at least in the words he used there, again, I can't fathom that this was his intent. Maybe he said the wrong word someplace, but I can't really figure out the puzzle. I'm not in his head. He's telling you Allen's better than Burrow. Like, Allen's a harder player to play against than Burrow. He even says at the end, I think trying, maybe realizing what he just did by saying teams got a game plan for Josh Allen is in a way saying they don't for his guy, and he wants to make it better, but says they got a game plan for us, like me and T. That is not helping. You're going the wrong way. Stop digging. That blew my mind when I heard it. And again, if there's been, I don't know how it's going to get walked back, but it probably will at some point get walked back. Maybe even Burrow will be asked about it and have to talk about it, because at some point he'll be meeting with the media. I'm just really curious. I even just mentioned to Zach off the air, I don't need to get Joe Goodberry on. He's our Bengals guy, but I'm really curious what he thinks about it. Maybe he knows the code, and even to some extent has already gotten wind of a walk back and an attempt to try to just patch that up. Patch it up makes it sound like there's dissension and bad blood. It's the kind of thing that could generate that. My guy's not as, you don't have to game plan for him like you do for their guy. Holy cow. That's just a minefield. So you wonder why guys are reluctant sometimes to, you know, open up and just talk freely. Sometimes they step in it. Again, I cannot imagine that Ja'Marr Chase believes that Joe Burrow's not as good as Josh Allen. And even if he were to even ever think that, I can't believe he would say it in any public setting. So I have to think there was some some misstep there by him, but I don't know. Like I said, I've listened to it a few times, trying to decipher what did he mean there? Because what he ends up saying is teams don't have to game plan for our guy like they do for their guy. Teams have to game plan for us, for me, the skill players, not the quarterback. I don't know. It's just an odd thing to say. It's a good thing the Bengals aren't on Hard Knocks. Let me tell you that, because that would never get stopped talking about. The Bills are on Hard Knocks. The first episode debuted yesterday, and you know, the takeaways are many. It was a very, I think, glowing look at the organization, really from top to bottom. Any Bills fan would have watched that show and just been smiling. I think, like, we've got it pretty good. Right. And I'm not here to, like, you know, kick at that. But I think HBO's Hard Knocks has been known for, you know, kind of airing storylines and telling stories that maybe, you know, they have the potential to go viral. Right. The thing with the Giants with the offseason one last year before the draft, when Joe Shane's kid said, like, draft Jaden Daniels. And there was the whole Saquon Barkley thing. I'm not going to pay $12 million was the number then, whatever the number was. I'm going to pay a running back this money when I've got a $40 million quarterback. And, of course, Barkley goes out and gets 2,000 yards in his first year in Philadelphia, and they win the Super Bowl. And, you know, teams probably want more of that stuff to end up on the cutting room floor, and maybe that will end up being the case with this season of Hard Knocks. We'll get four more episodes, the next one coming next Tuesday. So we'll see how hard they get into the injury stuff or the James Cook situation. But it was all thumbs up, all positive. And again, I'm not complaining about that. I'm merely just observing that it might as well have been like an in-house Bills production, the way that it came off. There's no mention of Cook's situation. There's no mention of Khalil Shakir's injury. This is no turbulence really at all. But, you know, they've got time here to tell stories, and maybe yesterday was all about just sort of setting that part of it up. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not one who has watched lots of episodes of that show, especially the training camp editions. I often haven't been an HBO subscriber, and it's the middle of summer. I'm not married to watching stuff. If that content were coming in November, when I'm riding a bike in the basement for 2 hours every morning, I probably would be watching it more regularly. But anyway, just some immediate takeaways. 803-0550 is the number if you would like to get in on the program, share your observations about the show from last night. That certainly is on the table with us here today. And anything regarding the Bills, of course, is always fair game. We've got our buddy Mike Tenier coming up. on the NFL. He's with Two Deep Zone is his current home, NFL writer, editor, and founder of Two Deep Zone. I love Mike's Twitter, X profile. NFL writer, editor, founder of Two Deep Zone, formerly Football Outsiders, the New York Times, The Messenger, Bleacher Report, and other ancient empires. That's a great bio. Love it. Anyway, Mike has been a pretty regular guest of ours over the years. He'll be with us coming up at the top of the hour. Between now and then, your calls are welcomed. 803-0550 is the number. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.